we have been under the tutelage and the leadership and the guidance of the pastor. And I am thankful to him. All sons can't return back home. And it's good when a father welcomes his son. Amen. And then I'm very thankful to 4th Street for accepting the pastor's wisdom and allowing me as a servant to come and to serve this great congregation. And so I am thankful to God, I'm thankful to him, and I'm also thankful to you. 4th Street. I want to ask if you would turn to a passage of scripture with me. John, the 16th chapter. Pastor has been preaching and teaching about being conscious and sensitive of the presence of God. Being born into the kingdom and being born into the body of Christ. And I want to lift up a passage of scripture for us to be reminded today as kingdom people, those who say that we've been born in the kingdom and born into the body of Christ, what Jesus says, what the Word of God says that we have. If you would look at verse 31, and we would end with verse 33, verses 31 through 33. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And it says, Jesus speaking here, you believe at last. Jesus answered, but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Here's the text verse. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Again, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Can everybody repeat that? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The sermon title I want to use this morning, as early as it is, I want to challenge you to think about this question. And it is the title of the sermon. And the question that I want to raise to you this morning, young people, to you this morning, young adult, to you this morning, middle ages, to you this morning, seniors, to you who are listening in the radio audience, the question I want to raise and use as a sermon title is this: is peace possible in bad times? Is peace possible in bad times? Can you all repeat that after me? Is peace possible in bad times? I don't know what your situation is, and you may fill in the blank, but you may ask the question this way. Is peace possible in the midst of a heart attack? Is peace possible? Young people, when you have three exams you're preparing for and a midterm project that you have to have due, and you have other responsibilities that is expected of you, is peace possible in what some may consider those as overwhelming times? Is peace possible when you've been on a job for 15 years, 20 years, and you have cantankerous co-workers, uncooperative co-workers, a boss, a supervisor, a manager that's insensitive to you needing to take some time off to take care of your children, to pick them up from whatever. Is peace possible in that situation? Is peace possible when your health is deteriorating? You've been healthy over the years, and all of a sudden your health is beginning to deteriorate. Is peace possible in bad times? Is peace possible when financial crises comes and knock on your door? Sit down at your table. When you've experienced having to pay bills, you've experienced having money in the bank, and you've experienced having the mortgage paid from month to month, having the car note paid from month to month, and all of a sudden you're in a wilderness type of economic situation. You're in a famine situation. Is peace possible in bad times? You may be in a relationship, your husband, your wife, things are not going as well as you would like them to go, and the relationship is going south. Is peace possible in bad times? The natural person would say, absolutely not. The natural person would hear this scripture when Jesus has said that you will have trouble. The unsaved person would say, no, it is totally impossible. The carnal person would respond by saying, yes, but it's hard. I know what the Bible says. But Reverend, when you're in that situation, God knows it's hard. The spiritually maturing person who is not perfect by any means, but the person is growing and maturing in Christ. The person has come to be persuaded that what God's word says and what Jesus says we have is absolutely true. The unsaved person says no. The carnal person says it's too hard. The spiritual person says it's possible. Jesus is, many scholars believe, either has left the upper room, headed towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Another group of scholars says that Jesus was in the process of leaving the upper room on that Thursday, but he continued teaching. And we have this text that he says these things. He's reminding his disciples who have followed him, the inner circle, the 11, because Judas has left. He has gone to do what Satan has entered into his heart to do, and that was to betray Jesus. And Jesus is in an environment where he is being persecuted. Jesus is facing some very hard and difficult times. Jesus is said that you all who have been with me, you're going to scatter. You who have walked with me, you're going to leave me alone. Have you ever had people who've been with you, you've depended on? They told you that they're going to be there. And when it came time to them anteing up, following through, they're not. That Jesus says, you're going to scatter. Even though Jesus said he felt alone, he feel alone, but one thing he follows up by saying, he said, I am not alone. In the midst of people walking away, in the midst of people leaving, I'm not alone. It's good to know that you have a pastor, even though things haven't gone well over 49 years, that he had faith, not in his feelings, but the object of his faith was God through Jesus Christ, being reminded by the Holy Spirit that you're not alone. When everything is going well, everybody wants to be around. Everyone wants to be a part. But when you have a tsunami that hits the 4th Street Missionary Baptist Church, a storm where everybody was accusing, everybody was talking, everybody was laughing, everybody was pointing fingers because this tsunami had hit the 4th Street Missionary Baptist Church. I watched them struggle, y'all. I heard the rumors. I saw members walk away. I saw the financials where members who said, Pastor, we're with you, but they stopped giving. Members who said that we're here, we understand we're the body of Christ, but some scattered. And oh yes, I heard feelings of whether he was alone. And yet, I saw him continue. Amen. Never missed a beat. Never gave up. Oh, what an encouragement to see when storms enter your life. Some people can talk about enduring the storm, but when storms hit your life, sometimes you want to throw in the towel. And not once did I ever observe your pastor ever saying, I'm leaving it. They can have it. But because of his commitment, because of his devotion, because of his trust, because of his dedication, first and foremost to God, and knowing if God had brought him through one tsunami, If he brought him through one storm, he can bring him through another. Not allowing the feelings of aloneness. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, there were some times that I just wondered how you're going to make it. And he kept saying, let's pray. Never seen him get frustrated. Giving up, throwing in the towel. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit kept reminding him, saying that you're not alone. You're not alone. And Jesus said one other thing. He says, now I want you to know you're going to have trouble, because understand, this is at the actual dawn of Jesus going to the cross. He was about to be crucified. Nails are about to be put in his hands. Nails are about to be put in his feet. Religious leaders are going to mock him. Religious leaders are going to laugh at him. Religious leaders are going to say he's an antichrist. He's Beelzebub. Religious leaders went to church every Sunday, led in worship. Going to be the ones that go to Pilate and says that he is a traitor. You need to do something about it. Isn't it interesting when you stand up and you are doing the will of God, you have the certain people who go to church every Sunday and every read the Bible and all of that, and you go before them and they start saying that you're something that you're not. They try and make you appear to be this tyrant, this dictator. They try and make you appear to be something that you're not. When you stand, and young people, let me tell you, when you stand up for what's right, there are going to be some of those who are not saved. They're carnal. They're immature Christians. They're going to make you appear to be as something that you're not, to try and discourage you, to try and make you give up, to cause confusion, to cause all kinds of trouble. Jesus was in this environment. He understood that. He was in an oppressive society. The Roman government, an oppressive society. And he was saying to his disciples then, as the Bible says to us now, you're going to have, not you may, you might have trouble. He says you're going, you will have trouble. But he says, I want you to understand, in me. Not in your knowledge, not in who you know, not in you trying to avoid, because the world has taught young people, the world has taught congregation, the world has taught radio audience, the way you try and manufacture peace is by avoiding the trouble, by avoiding the problems, by denying the reality of the trouble, by denying the reality of the hard times. The world also have caused us to become such consumers that we will try and cover up the trouble and ignore, avoid the troubles by going shopping at 4 o'clock in the morning. Is there anybody in this house, and call it Black Friday? But won't get up at 6:45 and come to the Lord's house. Won't get up at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and the Lord has given us everything that we have, and yet we can get up on a 4 a.m., some at 2 a.m., to stand in a line in the dark as well as in the cold, waiting for doors to open to spend something that we don't have. That'll cause some trouble down the road. Hard times. And yet Jesus says, in me, you have peace. Is it possible to have peace in bad times, in hard times? Now, don't fool me now. I mean, we can say it right now because some people may not be into hard times and say, yeah, we can. Until hard times come knocking on the door and, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, here's what Jesus says. The way that you know this is receive the word of Jesus. He says, in me, you have peace. Do you believe that? Are you truly convinced that in Christ you have peace? Are you convinced of that? Because it's in hard times we need to be reminded, number one, of his presence. The only way that you can really know and enjoy what Jesus says he's given you, you must know without a shadow of a doubt you have what he says you have. He says, in me, you have peace. So first and foremost, you have to have his presence. Without Jesus' presence, without his presence of the Holy Spirit, you will never know you have what he says you have. Because some persons have not been truly convinced that he is present all the time. So you must know you have his presence, young people. And how do I know I have his presence? It's because first, you have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because Romans 8:1, he says, those who are in him are no longer under any condemnation. What that means is that you have to first and foremost be at peace with God before you can be at peace with yourself. Amen. And before you can be at peace with anybody else. So if you're not at peace with God, it's no way that you will ever be conscious and sensitive of his presence. And you will not be able to enjoy his peace. That he says, I have given to you. You do remember in John, around about the 14th chapter, 27, he says, my peace I've given you. Not as the world has given, as I have given it unto you. Let not your heart, what? Be troubled. Whether it's difficulties, whether it's a tsunami in your life, whether it's a storm in your life, whether it's a hurricane in your life, whatever the circumstance or the situation is, externally or internally, because there are some people who got some internal tsunamis, y'all. They're never able to rest. They're always anxious. They're always worrying. That's a tsunami. That's a hurricane internally because they are not experiencing the presence nor the peace of God in their life. So you must experience, you must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life to know that he is present all the time. That's why Matthew 28:20 says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Are you convinced? Are you persuaded that you have his presence? In order to be able to enjoy his peace, you must know that he is present. And then you must be persuaded, number two, that you have his peace. If you know that he's present in you all the time, 24/7, then you also must be persuaded that you have his peace. We just read, he says, in me you have peace. Not in your money. Not in anything else, not in your abilities, not in your intelligence. There must be a belief, a faith that you have his peace. The only peace that he can give. Not yours. You can avoid trouble, but you got to come back to it. You can drink, you can drug, you can go and do anything else. But trouble's going to be waiting on you when it gets back, when you get back. Is there anybody in the house? Amen. You can try to avoid the bills, but bills are still going to be waiting. Is there anybody in this house? You can try to avoid your health concerns or your health problems but by not going to the doctor, but it's going to show up sooner or later. Is there anybody in this house? You must have faith that He's given you His peace. You must know that He's present with you all the time. No matter who walks away, you're not alone. You must know that in the midst of the tsunami, in the midst of the hard times, in the midst of the difficult times, that His peace is present right there, right then. How do I receive His peace? He says, now you also must know that you have my power. All right. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when you receive the dunamis, when you receive His power, then it is not you expressing peace. It is Him expressing His peace through you. Let me ask you this. Why is it that we can say a person can cause me or make me do something? Have you ever heard someone say, well, a person has a calming effect on them? Whenever I'm around that person make me feel what? Peaceful. Calm. So do you know who the object of your faith is? So when that person leaves, what happens to your peace? What happened to your calm? What you have done is empowered that person. So how is it that a human can make you do something and the power of the Holy Spirit can't control you? How is that possible? When the Bible says, be not controlled with wine, but be ye what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Be not filled with but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Why is it that everybody else can control us, but the Holy Spirit can't do what He's promised to do? In order to be able to experience peace in hard times, you must be conscious and sensitive of His presence. You must be conscious and sensitive and persuaded that you have what He says you have. And you must know that He's given you the power to exercise, to demonstrate His peace. Not you, but you must be available for Him to live in and live through. And you can be in the midst of hard times. You can be in the midst of trouble. You can be in the midst of pain. You can be in the midst of anything. And it's not your circumstances that's going to determine how you respond. But the power, the presence, and the peace of God through Jesus Christ will show up every time. Only if you're conscious. And all my brothers and sisters, can you, or is it possible to have peace in hard times? If you're unsaved, the unsaved person says no. If you're immature in your Christian walk, your focus would be on the problems, the hard times, and not on Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, if you keep your mind stayed on the problem, if you keep your mind stayed on the hard times, if you keep your mind stayed on the difficult times, He will give you perfect peace. But He says, if you keep your mind stayed on Him, He will. If you keep your mind stayed on God, if you keep your mind stayed on the Prince of Peace, if you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, if you keep your mind stayed on Christ, He will give you perfect peace. He will give you mature peace. Not keep your mind on your circumstances. Not keep your mind on that hard taskmaster boss. Not keep your mind on your financial difficulties. Not keep your mind on the difficult drama relationship that you might be in. Not keep your mind on people who mistreat you. Not keep your mind on people who won't speak to you. Not keep your mind on your bill. But if you keep your mind stayed on Christ, keep your mind stayed on His Word. That's why it's so important to know His Word, to study His Word, to spend time in His Word. Then you won't find yourself saying as a Christian, it's too hard in these difficult times. It's too hard and too difficult for me to have peace in the midst of my circumstance. No, but what you will do, you will know without a shadow of a doubt, if I keep my mind on Christ, He's given me His peace. And oh, my brothers and sisters, we should celebrate God and thank God for His peace. We just left Thanksgiving, but do you know every day is a day of Thanksgiving? And when I know His presence, when I know that He's given me His peace, when I know He's given me His power, then I can thank Him for the power. My prayer life changed. I'm no longer saying, God, give me more peace. No, I'm thanking Him for already what He's given me. Why do we have to keep praying for more peace? Why should we keep praying for more power? Why should we keep praying, Lord, let your Holy Spirit be present? He's already present. We already have His power. We already have His peace. So I just said, thank you. What you've already given me. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your power. And I know our pastor over 49 years, he's been thanking Him for bringing him through the storms and the rain. He's been thanking Him for bringing him through the difficult times. But I just come by to tell you, you can thank Him. Because He's brought you from a mighty long way. And I love the song, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. So I just come by to tell you that it is possible. Without a reservation, without hesitation, it is possible to experience His peace. It's possible to experience His presence. It's possible to be available to His power. I've got to close now. I just want to use an example to just crystallize the point. Whenever you're going into a plane, we understand gravity is that principle, that operation that says whatever goes up, it must come down. And so if you look at different people, they say, is it possible to transcend gravity? And if they're not sensitive to the aerodynamic design of planes, if they're not sensitive to the way that engineers have designed the engines of the plane, you'll never get on a plane. But because engineers have designed planes such a way that when it actually flies in the atmosphere, it goes to a certain altitude, it doesn't mean that the principle of gravity go away. But what it means is, because of the aerodynamics of the plane, it operates within gravity, but it's designed to transcend gravity. So as long as you stay in the plane, then some people say, I flew to New York, I flew, come on somebody, to Atlanta, I flew flew to New Jersey. I flew to, come on somebody, Philadelphia. But I always, when I hear people use that kind of language, I start looking at wings on the back of their backs, and I never see any wings that they can fly. But what they tend to mean is this: because they were fully persuaded that whoever have designed that jumbo jet, that 747 or that 727, aerodynamically, they have come to be persuaded that it's best to get on the plane because it's more expedient and it saves you time, and the data has shown the possibility of an accident on a plane is less than you're traveling in a car. So that person has come fully persuaded, and their faith is exercised by getting on the plane. What they're saying by their action: I believe that the pilot can get me from point A to point B as long as I stay in the plane. But if they're 27,000 feet in the altitude, they decide that they want to get off the plane, and they open up the door where they are in the plane. Aerodynamically, it keeps them above the gravity. The operation of the gravity does not take effect. But if they open the door, the operation and the principle of gravity will not only take them down, but it'll take the plane down. But as long as they stay in the plane, they can get safely to point B. They may have the plane thrown from side to side. The plane might hit air pockets. The pilot may come over the interphone and say, "Fasten your seatbelt, because we are going in to some rough weather." So they begin to fasten the seatbelt. They may get thrown from side to side, but they stay in the plane until they safely land. The storm don't affect the plane. The storm don't affect the person in the plane. Even though they may have some anxiety, even though they may have some worries, but they stay in the plane. And I'm just telling you, Jesus says, if you stay in Him, you'll have His peace. You may have storms every now and then. You may have some problems. Problems every now and then, but He says, "I in you, and you in me." Come storms, come on storms. I'm in Christ. I can be in the middle of the storm, but I can experience His peace. I can be on a job and storms all around me. I can be in difficult relationships, but I still have His peace. I can still have His joy. And that's what the pastor been preaching about when he said, "This joy I have, this peace I have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I just come out to tell you, it's possible to have this peace in hard times. It's possible to have this peace in difficult times." Good morning, y'all. Do we have an example that we can see? I gave the example of the plane, but I love the example that Jesus Christ showed Himself. Peace went to a hill called Calvary. Peace allowed them to put nails in His hands. Peace allowed them to lift Him high and to stretch Him wide. And peace prayed a prayer in the midst of dying, in the midst of pain, in the midst of hard times. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He died. Anybody know He died? He died. Yeah. On that Friday.
Friday evening. They put him in a grave. He stayed there Friday evening. Stayed there Friday night. Stayed there Saturday and Saturday night. But early. Anybody know about early? Early. Somebody's going to get that. Early. Early. Sunday morning. He got up with all power. All power. All power in his hands. And that allows you to have eternal life. That allows you access to his peace. That allows you to have access to his presence. And that allows you to have access to his power. So it is possible. If you only have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to have his peace in the midst of hard times. But if you do not have that relationship, you will find yourself restless, even saying you're a Christian, because you're not available to his presence. You're not available to his peace. And you're not available to his power. If you're here today, I pray that you will not leave here this morning and not receive that which he desires that you have. He desires that you be saved. That you have eternal life. He desires that you have his presence. He desires that you have his peace. And he desires that you have his power. Because one day he's coming back. One day, anybody know he's coming back? But until then, he wants you to be his example of how to experience peace in hard times. If you're here this morning, if you're here, we want to invite you to receive that which he desires that you have. Some people say, I'm just tired of being tired. I've been trying to do this all by myself. And I just want to come and receive that which he has for me. It's not about going to church every Sunday. It's about being in an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then when you have an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you don't mind coming to the Lord's house. It doesn't become a job for you. It doesn't become hard anymore, but you are running to celebrate because you have his peace. You have his joy. And you just want to thank him for everything that he's given you. So if you're here this morning, will you come this morning to receive eternal life? Will you come this morning to receive his presence? Will you come this morning to receive his power? Will you come and receive his peace? Unashamed, unembarrassed. Young people, you might say that you have his peace. But if you find yourself worried all the time, find yourself struggling all the time, focusing on all kinds of problems and hard times, and you're wanting to throw in the towel, you need to come. The same for you, young adult. The same for you, senior. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. And you have not experienced the joy of his salvation. You need to come. Will you come this morning in the name of Jesus? Will you come? Will you accept him this morning as your Lord and Savior? In the name of Jesus. Don't go through this life burdened down. Problems. And I will never tell you when you give Christ your life that your problems are going to go away. Your hardships, you will never have hardship. But I will tell you that he wants to give you what you need in order to endure it. He wants to give you what you need to persevere. He wants to give you what you need to persist. So that you can be a testimony to those who are wondering, how do I experience peace in the midst of my hard times? Will you come this morning? He'll take care of you. Will you be available to have him take care of you? Come to Jesus. In the name of Jesus.